This is Money in Motion with Class Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And that is just that, Money in Motion. CJ Kloss is with us, Melissa Wagner as well. No Sean Preble today. No Sean today. I have a little bit more hair, CJ. Just a little bit.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So now you and Melissa, you're the pros in this show.
I guess.
You're just going to have to take me by the hand and lead me through this a little bit. Connery, of course, we'll do this from time to time when Sean is gone. But, you know, Sean needed a much-needed time off. Did you guys have a fantastic holiday?
We did, yes. We were around here. We had a bunch of family up to our house and kids running around screaming, trashing our place. So we've been cleaning up for the past couple days. How about you?
I did. I had a fantastic holiday. All the kids were home and everything was good in that regard. So let's pick up where you guys left off last week. We're dying to know the quiz question of the week and the answer of the quiz question of the week from last week.
Yeah, thanks. So thanks, everyone, for listening and calling in last week. And, of course, congratulations to our winner. Last week's question was, does a front-end load fund charge a fee at the beginning when you first invest or at the end? And the answer, of course, was a front-end load charges that fee at the beginning when you first invest.
And the answer is, there you go.
Yeah, at the beginning when you first invest. It's not a surprise. Front-end load means front-end commission, which obviously we are not huge fans of these, by the way, but rather it was a topic of fees and expenses and different ways financial advisors get paid last week. And so it's important for you to understand what kind of an advisor are you working with, somebody who gets paid commissions, somebody who gets paid fees, gives advice and acts as a fiduciary or acts as a salesman.
Yeah. We always encourage people to call the show, too. If you have some questions you want to pose to our guests, feel free, 321-1310, toll free at 877-235-1310. You can always call the office, too. There's great ways to connect with you guys as well, right, CJ?
Yeah, so we on our website, you can sign up for what we call our weekly market pulse, which just gives you a weekly blip on what happened in the overall markets, which has been super exciting recently with all the volatility. And then obviously you can come in for a no-cost initial consultation or you know, listen to these shows. Matter of fact, a lot of our clients listen to these because they want to up their overall IQ on retirement-related topics. Mm-hmm. So even though they already listen to us, they say, hey, I was listening to your show a month ago and you talked about this, and I don't know that we've addressed that for my personal financial plans yet. So even for those that are our clients, it's a great way to, again, raise that overall retirement IQ.
Yeah, one thing, too, we want to mention that all these shows are podcasted, so yeah, you can listen to them at your convenience as well. You talked about, you know, as we wrap up 2018, so as we finish up this year, what can we do in the way of getting a head start in our retirement planning in 2019?
Yes, we all love new beginnings, and we're about goals and making changes. And if you ever go to a gym after the new year, you recognize this behavioral element in people because they have this desire and this goal to lose weight, to get healthy, whatever it might be. And so similarly with financial planning, the start of the new year can be a good opportunity to say, gosh darn it, I'm gonna do it this year, right? Whatever it might be. So a few things that you might want to evaluate as you both get prepared for retirement and as you head into the new year. Number one would be debt. How much of it do you have? How expensive is that in terms of stealing your cash flow? And do we need to finally, as a household, build a budget so that we don't go outside of our income? Debt, as we've talked about so many times on this show, is the greatest barrier to you having a financially free retirement. Another question might be savings. How much do we have in savings? Is it too much or not enough? Most people have not enough, by the way, but some have too much. They've got 3 years worth of savings sitting around doing nothing for them, not growing enough. So again, how much savings do we have? When do you want to retire? This is an important question. A lot of people will say, I don't know.
Today.
or today. That's a great point, Tim. I want to retire today. And we go, oh, do you have enough? And so speaking with your spouse and figuring out when would we like to see ourselves retire And then finally, how much do I need to be retired? This is one of the hard ones for people. Well, I don't know, CJ. That's why we meet with people like you. I have no idea how much I need. And truth be told, that can be where a good financial advisor can sit down with you and say, well, when we look at your pension and your Social Security and the fact that you have no debt, you might not need as much as your neighbor thinks that they need. So be careful going to your neighbors, your cubicle mate, and saying, how much do you have? Well, I guess I need that much. It is a completely customized number that you need to figure out for yourself.
I think the big thing, too, is that when it comes to retirement, everybody's vision of their retirement is different, isn't it?
It is. So unfortunately, I wish I had the silver bullet, right? I wish it was everybody needs $1 million or everybody needs $200,000. And we have situations, especially here in Dane County, where people who have worked for the state are part of the Employee Trust Fund's pension, and in some circumstances, make as much or more from their pension than they did while they worked, not including Social Security or any investments they have. So in that circumstance, you could say that person needs like little to no retirement savings, right? Whereas their neighbor who has no pension may need $1 million or, you know, $2 million. So I wish there was an easy answer to this, but you really just need to sit down with a qualified advisor to figure out what is your number and when can you retire.
So I'm going to ask both of you, what is the average retirement age today? I mean, the number that pops out to me is 65, because that's just generally 65. But is that the case, or does it fluctuate somewhat?
And it's important to look at those average ages, because it kind of gives you that benchmark of what to shoot for when you're looking at retirement savings. So in today's age, you know, this has fluctuated over the years, but today the average person retires at age 63. And they go through about what is an average of an 18-year length of retirement. Now, the reason that's important is because we set our eyes on an average. But remember, 18 years being the average isn't the always. So we've seen clients that'll go 30 years of a retirement. And it's important to shoot for the high end of that, because you don't want to run out early, of course. The interesting facts with some of the averages is the average retirement savings of a 55-year-old, so that's less than 10 years till the average retirement age, is only $374,000 in the United States. And even though that seems to some people like a high number, it's interesting to see that about 36% of Americans that are over 65, which are actually into your retirement years then, are relying completely on Social Security alone, because they didn't have any form of a retirement savings behind that. And about 38% have put nothing at all away towards their retirement. And the hardest thing about that is when you've got just your Social Security, that's all you've got. So there's no, you know, extra piggy bank there for emergencies or planned trips or having different enjoyments. You've only got what you've got from Social Security, which is a set number. So step two, really, in planning ahead for the new year is what you should be doing now.
It's interesting. I've heard that number before, but it always blows me away when they say 38% of Americans have put nothing away. CJ is shaking his head. I'm sure you are, Melissa, too. It's mind-boggling to me.
Well, to your point, Tim, it's when you hear the number, actually, $374,000 is the average amount that a 55-year-old has. That doesn't sound too bad to me. Right. But it's this, if you look at the curve of it all, the average, it's like there's some that have astronomical amounts, right? $20, $30, $40, $50 million at the very end of the curve. And then down at the bottom of the curve, there's this 38% chunk that have zero. Right?
Right.
And so you go, whoa, what are they doing? And you go, well, that's why we have a Social Security fund, right? Because if there was $0 saved and zero income in retirement, those are the people that end up on, you know, absolute horrible social services, whereas Social Security was an automatic savings option. So it's pretty scary. Don't be the person at the bottom end of that curve. Save for yourself. Don't blame it on anybody either. I can't stand when people come in and go, well, you know, I didn't save because my refrigerator went out this year. And because, you know, my kid needed to go to college. And I go, These are things that every household deals with.
Right.
It's just some are responsibly dealing with it and some are not.
So what you, I'll ask you guys, so what should you be doing now?
Well, first off is to look at your retirement account. Make sure that you're maximizing how much you're putting in each year, whether you've got a 401k. If you have a 401k, of course, you don't ever want to leave free money on the table is what we call it. So if your employer is offering a match, you want to contribute at a very minimum whatever they're going to match, because otherwise you're just letting free money lay there. We always recommend a good starting point of about a 10% to start with that, but of course you can go up. The maximum is 18.5 into a 401k. Then you've got IRAs. If you have a non-working spouse, you can actually contribute money into a spousal IRA for their benefit, which is great. And when you do that, you've got until April 15th of the coming year to do that. And when you add that money, you've got $5,500 is the most you can put in there, or $6,500 if you're over 50. So once you get over 50, you've actually got catch-up limits. That's the way of saying, okay, you know, we're maybe a little behind in savings, but now that you've hit 50, we're going to give you a little extra opportunity. With a 401k, if you're over 50, that limit is about $24,500 as well. So it's about a $6,000 increase from the 401k. And it's always good to check on things like Roth. If your employer has a Roth option for the 401k, it's good to sit down with an advisor and look at your tax brackets. Your income, is now a good time to go into a Roth? And, of course, we always add in our accountants and talk to them on the tax feature of it to see what's the best option to go into. Most importantly is that you need to start looking at putting that money away now.
I was going to say, I think that's the best piece of advice, CJ, is that you have to start looking into it now.
Yeah. So again, mentioned it earlier, be responsible, right? So kind of step up, make this your year to say, all right, I'm tired of putting my head in the sand. I'm tired of, you know, getting to the end of a month and going, where did all the money go? Right. And saying, let's sit down, let's create a budget. Let's track that budget. Let's stick to it and make 2019 your best year yet.
With CJ Kloss and Melissa Wagner, this is Money in Motion. KlossFinancial.com is their awesome website. You can call their phone number, too, in the office at 608-442-5627. Quick break. More as we continue with more Money in Motion here on 1310 WIBA.
Got my spine. I've got my orange crown. Color me. Don't color me.
No Sean Preble today. Tim Scott's assuming the role. CJ Kloss is here as always. Melissa Wagner as well from our friends at Kloss Financial. Welcome back to Money in Motion, answering all your retirement questions in one place. And, of course, the new guy already screws up. Miss the phone number at 608-442-5637. 608-442-5637. Their website is awesome, too, at KlossFinancial.com. All right, you guys, how do I know what investments to choose in my retirement accounts? I mean, does it really matter, CJ?
I wish it didn't. Again, back to the silver bullet. I wish it was just buy this one fund and it'll solve all your problems. But unfortunately, for anybody who's invested in a 401k, an IRA for any extended period of time, you know this can be scary stuff. So let's begin with this. 401ks and IRAs are actually first about taxes, second about investments. Let me repeat that. 401ks, IRAs, retirement accounts are first about taxes, second about investments. In that, when you put money into a pre-tax traditional 401k, you get a tax deduction for doing so. It is a pre-tax contribution. And then it grows tax deferred. Or if you put it into a Roth 401k, you put it in after tax, and then the growth is tax-free. So those two ways of contributing and saving on growth are tax benefits first. Now, once the money's inside of those accounts, the natural question is, well, what am I going to put it in? Am I going to put it in a money market fund, a bond fund, a stock, whatever it might be? And so just remember, you putting money into your 401k plan does not have to mean that you just jump on the bandwagon of Wall Street. Because I've had a couple of people say, I really don't like what Wall Street does. And I go, okay, what does that have to do with your 401k plan? Because again, 401ks are first about taxes. I don't know about you, Sean, but if somebody said to me, hey, I've got this account that will grow your money, even if it's at a low rate, tax-free, and I've got this account, if you don't want to use that one, that will grow your money on a taxable basis. You'll pay taxes every year. I would take the tax-free one every single day. That's a Roth 401k. So again, figure out the tax end of it first, but then from there, sit down again, either on your own, do some research, sit down with a qualified financial advisor to figure out what should I actually be putting that money into, a stock, a bond, a target date fund, anything of the like.
So how important is it to take the action with this stuff right away?
Well, it's actually really important. So we've never had a client sit down with us and say, I've got too much money to retire. Never happened. It's never going to happen. But we have had clients come at, you know, 55 or 60 and say, I'm ready to start saving for my retirement. That may be too late. The sooner the better, first off. And the reason for that, one of the biggest options you have is called compound interest. Just the simple fact of putting money in there, getting into that habit of repeatedly contributing to something, and then allowing the interest itself to take over. Interest will build on itself and continue to compound, which will almost just help you save even more on its own without your contributing. Another thing to look for is to sign on to SSA.gov to pull your Social Security benefit numbers, just so you know. Two reasons. One, you want to track how much you have the potential of getting from Social Security, and also just to watch your earnings statements on there to make sure that throughout the years, what you've made is being reported correctly, that they got the right numbers in there. So when it's time to retire, you're not going back 20 years to look at your income records. Just to keep up on those things and watch how that goes. And, of course, the CJ message or method, the tax-deferred options for the growth. Pushing that tax off really till later when you're potentially in a lower tax bracket will help you save the tax money, too, which contributes to your savings as well.
It's interesting, CJ, when you talk about, so what's your retirement date? I had a conversation with my 26-year-old about a year ago where his company offered him 401k and a match. And he was like, why do I want to put money into this? I'm 20 at the time. I was 25. And I said, you put money into it because they're going to match it. You forget about it. After a while, you won't even realize it's gone. And then give it a couple of years, and then you look at it again and see what happened. And then you'll thank me later.
Yeah. Seriously, buy me a beer later on, son.
Yeah, no kidding. Right? No kidding.
It's true. You know, what's fascinating about this is there's two ends of the spectrum of people who are really successful at saving for retirement. One end of the spectrum is those who get super nerdy about it. Right? They listen to shows like this. They just digest all the financial information they can. They go to Vanguard.com and figure out investing in an inexpensive way. And they're just super educated. There's the other end of the spectrum, which is people who go, I don't know. My dad told me to get involved early on. I mean, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I just saved 10% of my money into it. And honestly, I haven't looked at it for like 30 years. And it's amazing. I have like $800,000.
That's good advice from your father.
It's exactly right. And it's fascinating because we run into both ends of the spectrum. And I'd say, hey, whatever works for you, that's great.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So, so how do you know your retirement date?
Well, this is an important one. This is where we would say you need to sit down with a spouse, if you have one, and or a financial advisor to really identify, you know, hey, what do we want to do in retirement? When do we want to retire? You know, do we have kids or grandkids that are going to be boomeranging, so to speak, and living with us? There's a lot of things that are very personal in this decision. But targeting a retirement date is important because it kind of gives you the joy of working today saying, hey, I know that at this age, I'm going to be ready to retire. I'm going to have enough income sources to do so. A lot of people will come in and say, I would like to retire at 60 or 62. I just have no idea if I can. And sometimes we sit down and we go, oh my gosh, of course you can. You're in great shape when we look at all the financial mm-hmm. elements. Other times we say, no, you can't. You're going to need to work longer. And so having that knowledge so that, you know, you're not walking into a dark room, so to speak, right? Feeling around with shards of glass all over the place. You want to be going into that room with, you know, a flashlight, having an idea of when you want to retire.
Is it a tough question for you two to answer when they say, how much do I want to retire with?
It's not. No, because they're asking the wrong question without knowing it.
Okay.
Right? So the number is irrelevant. The question is, what will be your sources of income and what are your required outflows? Said another way, We have clients who retire with millions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of dollars of income every year in retirement, and they live paycheck to paycheck and feel stressed. We have other clients who have $40,000 of income, most of which is coming from Social Security, maybe partly from a portfolio, and they have no debt, and they live a really simple life. And they say to us, "Oh man, I have more than I need." Mm. So you tell me what the difference is.
Yeah, it's all up to the individual, isn't it?
It is, right. Yeah. So it's not a number. It's not an income piece. It's what are your expectations for retirement? How many debts do you have? What do you need to live your life comfortably? That's really what you've got to focus on.
So in the end, you need to take action today, right?
Yes.
You got to get started.
As Melissa mentioned, probably one of the most important things to do is say, hey, maybe mark 2019 as the year that you're going to do one of these things we mentioned, whether it be building a budget for the first time and just sticking with it, sitting down with your spouse every week, or starting to save for retirement. Do something.
CJ Kloss, Melissa Wagner from Kloss Financial. It's Money in Motion on this Thursday. Quick break. We'll hit some news with Robin, and we'll come back with more as we continue. Dan Connery in a bit, too. Stay with us. 1310 WIBA. News time now, 8:30.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
We continue this morning. Tim Scott filling in for Sean Preble. CJ Kloss is here. Melissa Wagner as well from Kloss Financial. This is Money in Motion. We will have our Kloss quiz question of the week coming up in just a few minutes. But guys, let's get back to where we left off. So how do I know what investments to choose in? No, wait a minute. We've already been there. I need to go to the bottom of it. You know, I hear you guys talk a lot about the idea of simplify, consolidating, and diversifying. CJ, those seems to be with the roller coaster week we had in Wall Street. It seems to be even friends over the holidays were talking, did you diversify? How are you surviving? It seems to be those are the kind of the buzzwords when it comes to retirement and investing in general, right?
It is, yes. So simplify, consolidate, diversify. So yeah, how did you diversify? What did that mean to your portfolio? And so on and so forth. And listen, number one, we empathize as a firm. We feel the pain of our clients. So as their portfolios go down, our income as a firm goes down. We don't like it any better than anybody else. And yet, the adult in me has to stop and say, listen, if you have a good portfolio of diversified stocks, meaning you're not just buying one company, mm-hmm. or you're buying many, and you've got some bonds if and where appropriate, things go up and down in value all around us all the time. For some reason, we just tend to react heavily to those things that where we can see a value on it. My home, on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, goes up and down in value depending upon supply and demand. If Epic chooses to hire more people, the value of my home goes up. I just don't see it on a ticker tape every single moment of every single day. It's a reality. It goes up and down every single day. I just don't see it. So my encouragement to you is be disciplined. Look at it once a quarter. Mm-hmm. Sit down with your financial advisor once a quarter, once every 6 months. Make sure everything's in good shape, and then don't freak out. The only time somebody should be super upset about the value of their 401k or investments going way down is if they need all the money at that moment. Otherwise, if you don't need all the money at that moment, when it goes down in value, you did not lose shares. You just lost value of shares on a particular day. So like anything else in your life, don't freak out as the economy and the market goes up and down. It's back to that simple concept that you told your son. Just save. Just save. And then look back 20 years from now and you'll get the big picture.
I would assume, though, too, guys, that if you work with a team such as yourselves, that when you see the news and one of those roller coaster week happens, your phone doesn't ring that much because your clients know that they're being taken care of.
Yeah, so we have about 1,300 households that we work with, and we got around 18-ish active reach outs via email or phone call, which as a percentage is a very, very small number. And yet, you know, I don't want people to not call us if they're scared, right? We need to address any fears that are going on. And this is scary stuff. I get that it takes a lifetime to save these numbers. And to see 20% absorbed in the market in a matter of 2 months can be scary.
It can be. All right, so we do our quiz question of the week. We ready? All right, here is our quiz question of the week. What is the average length of retirement in the United States? The average length of retirement in the United States. Is it 15 years, 18 years, or 22 years? And here's a clue. You mentioned it earlier today.
That's right.
Hint, hint, podcast. If you know the answer to the question, they need to call the office, right?
Yep.
At 608-442-5637, 608-442-5637. And the correct answer wins a $25 gift card for Cracker Barrel. Cool prize. Cool prize. What else is going on?
Oh, goodness. What else is going on this week? It's a slow week. Not a lot of people are wanting to meet with their financial advisors during Christmas and New Year. So, Happy New Year, everybody. We'll see you next week.
All right. CJ Kloss, Melissa Wagner, thank you very much, Melissa. We appreciate you joining us today.
Oh, absolutely, Tim. Thanks for having us.
All right. Good job, everybody. That has been Money in Motion, Kloss Financial's Money in Motion. Again, contact them. The office number at 608-442-5637 or their website. Outstanding website. Plenty of information there at KlossFinancial.com.